Okay. Well, typically it's at this point that I say if you've made it in tonight without Bible in hand, but I'm not going to say that tonight because we're going to do something a little bit different. We've been working our way through Mark's Gospel, and next week we're going to come back to Mark chapter 9. But I wanted to take a step back from that tonight to just look topically and maybe share some things that maybe pertain to all of us. But this is a challenging time in which we live in, and certainly we know that many of us are facing various challenges. So you want to pull out your outline tonight, and tonight we're going to look at the topic, God's Purpose for My Problems. Now, let me just ask just to see if I'm speaking to the right audience. Does anybody here have any problems? Okay, so a couple of people, all right. Now, for those of you, your life is perfect, well, you know, take a nap. But here we are. And the reason that we're doing this is years ago, in a very difficult time, somebody shared this with me. And it just ministered to me. So I thought this would be a good time to just share this with our congregation. And again, typically, we go through a book of the Bible. We're studying through Mark. We'll come back to that next week. But tonight, to look somewhat topically. Notice there in your outline, the first verse, Jesus said it like this. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have," what's that word? Tribulation. Go ahead and underline that word. He said, "But take courage, I have overcome the world." And here's what you need to know. The word tribulation is just simply a big word for the word problems. That's all it is. Tribulation can be anything. It's just a time of difficulty. It's a time of problems. And so Jesus says, as long as you and I are in the world, we're going to have tribulations. Now, is this a surprise to anybody? 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 Well, we've all kind of walked through some of that. Peter said it like this. Peter said, "Therefore, let those who suffer," now underline this, "according to the will of God, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Peter tells us that sometimes problems, difficulties in our lives are just simply part of God's will, God's plan in our life. Now, many times, and if you're like me, when I begin to face problems, the first thing I tend to think of is, "God, are you punishing me?" But no one's ever thought this. And we do that, but the Bible teaches that God's will often includes a positive use of problems in our lives. Now, I'm not here tonight to explain suffering. There's a lot that we could talk about and a lot that goes into there, a lot of different reasons. But tonight, what I want to do is just look at five ways that God uses problems in our lives. And so tonight, we call this "How God Uses Problems in My Life." Number one, we find that God uses problems in our lives to direct us. Write that down. God uses problems in our lives to direct us. Notice how it says in the book of Proverbs there in your outline, it says, "Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways." I just want to yell out, "Can I get an amen?" You know, we've all been there. So we've certainly all seen that sometimes it's painful experiences, painful situations that cause us to make changes. God has a way of bringing problems in our lives, or allowing problems to come into our lives to light a fire under us, to motivate us, to get us going. And he has a way of making it uneasy, it's hot, it's difficult, but there's something that he wants to do, and many times he's just directing us. C.S. Lewis said that God speaks to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. How many of us feel like God's kind of shouting to us right now? Absolutely. In difficulty, God has a way of getting our undivided attention. It's been said that when times are good, we tend to party. When times are bad, we tend to ponder. The story of Jonah is simply the story of a man who was swallowed up by a problem. And after God did a work in his life, God redirects him, and the problem spits him out in just the right place. It's the story in the New Testament of the prodigal son. You know the story. He takes everything, he goes off, he has a life where he lives in a way that he shouldn't live, and he comes to the place where the bottom falls out of his life. He's hungry, he finds a job working in a pig pen, and there's that one little line that says, "When he came to his senses." All it was God allowing some problems in his life to direct him back to the path. But the truth is, there's only two reasons that we typically make changes: inspiration and desperation. And for the most part, it's usually desperation. And it would be great if it was inspiration, but it's usually, desperation. Solomon said it like this, there in your outline. He says, "In the day of prosperity, be happy, but in the day of adversity,
then number two, sometimes God uses problems to inspect us. He has a way of using problems to check us out, to see what's really in our heart. God uses problems in our life as a test to reveal where we're really at. Peter said it like this, there in your outline. Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your," what's that word? "Testing. As though some strange thing were happening to you." What's he saying? Just simply that problems are not abnormal. They're just a part of life. God was speaking to the nation of Israel. They had wandered in the desert for 40 years. God reflects on that with them. Here's what he says there in your outline. He says, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you," what's it say, "testing you," and then underline this, "to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Israel wandered through the desert for 40 years. God would come along and give them a test. And every time it seems that they failed the test, and God would say, "One more lap around the wilderness." Maybe for some of us, we're thinking right in the middle of this, "One more lap around the wilderness." Problems aren't so much to make us, but problems have a way of revealing us. You see, it's been said that we're all like, well, like a tube of toothpaste. And the truth is, when the squeeze is on, whatever is on the inside, well, that's what's going to come out. Whatever's on the inside, that's what's going to come out. And many times God allows the squeeze to be on in our life simply to reveal what's on the inside of us. So God uses problems to not just to direct us, but to inspect us. The classic example in the Old Testament is in the book of Job. We all know the story of Job. Satan comes to God and he says, "He serves you because you bless him." And God says, "No, he serves me because he's faithful." And then God and Satan have this conversation and they agree, well, let's find out. Job says this there on your outline. Job says, "When he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold." I don't know about you, but I always want my heart to be like that of Job's. I want to go through, when I have to go through times of testing, I want to come out on the other side a little more refined, a little more pure than I was even before I went through. Job understood that sometimes problems come into our life, and it's just to refine us. It's just to inspect us. It's been said that a silversmith was once asked, "How do you know when the metal is pure?" And the silversmith said, "When I can see my reflection in the silver." And the truth is, God knows that you and I are becoming pure when he can see his reflection as he looks at us. When you're inspected, you come out stronger than you were before. You come out more pure. So whatever problem that we might be facing right now, it could be that God wants to direct us, and it could just be that God wants to inspect us to see what's really on the inside of us. And then number three, sometimes God uses problems in our life just simply to correct us. It's been said that life is a school and problems are the curriculum. And you will never live a life without problems. Problems are just part of life. And some lessons are only learned by failure. You told your kids don't, but they did, and now they're hurt. That ever happened? Absolutely. Now, many times, God needs to correct the problems that we've brought on ourselves. David said it like this there in the outline. He says, "You know, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." What's so interesting about that verse is that David writes that after he's committed adultery with Bathsheba, after he's committed a murder, after his family has completely unraveled as a result of that. And yet the Bible teaches that even the problems that you and I bring upon ourselves, God has a way of taking those and using them positively in our lives. I like it the way that this is written in the Living Bible. I put the same verses in the Living Bible. David said it like this again in the Living Bible. He says, "The punishment you gave teaching tool, and problems are an education. And some of us right now are becoming highly educated. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, if God wants to use the problems in our life as an education, I would suggest that maybe the question isn't to start asking, why am I having this problem? I mean, we can ask that question, but we don't want to spend too much time there. But the real question that we need to ask ourselves is simply, or ask God, what do you want to do in this situation? What do you want to do in me? You see, every problem is a teaching tool. And it could be that God wants to teach us something about himself. It might be that God wants us to learn something about his faithfulness, his power, about his ability to provide, and about his ability to show up in our situation. So it could be that God is teaching us something about himself. And it could be that God is using the problem to teach us something about ourselves. And it could be a weakness or a blind spot, an area that God wants us to grow. But either way, problems are an education. The fact is, for the most part, most of us are unwilling to face our future or even our situation to ourselves until we're forced to. Notice what Paul said. Notice how Paul said it. Paul says to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. The Bible teaches that if you are a true Christian and you're blowing it in some area, God is going to step in and he's going to bring discipline into your life. If you're going through life and God is not stepping in, bringing correction in your life, then it's probably a sign, or you may want to check and make sure that you're really one of his kids. Because if you're one of his kids and you're blowing it in a certain area, he's going to step in and he's going to bring correction. God always disciplines his own children. I never spank the kids down the street. Although I'd like to. So sometimes God uses problems to direct us. Sometimes God uses problems to correct us. And sometimes God uses problems to inspect us. And then sometimes, number four, God uses problems to protect us. Sometimes God is just protecting us with a problem. Notice how it says in 1 Peter 3, it says, for it is better, if God should will it so, I'm like this, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. For instance, let's say you're working at a place and there's some unethical things going on and your boss comes in and asks you to do something that you know is illegal. You approach your boss and you say, I just can't be part of this because it's illegal. And your boss gets angry and he fires you. So you think, well, here I have this great problem. But then 3 months later, you notice on the news, all of a sudden, that same company that you used to work for, now the police are showing up, there's a lawsuit, and someone is facing jail time. And you've been protected because you're not there anymore. And God has used the problem to protect us. Now, probably the greatest example of this in the Old Testament is the story of Joseph. Now, we all know the story of Joseph. Joseph suffered for exactly the opposite thing that David suffered for. David suffered because he committed adultery. Joseph suffered because he didn't commit adultery. And the story goes, he was sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. And in Egypt, he becomes a servant of Potiphar. One day, Potiphar's wife makes eyes for Joseph. And in Genesis 39, it says there in your outline, that it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. Now, it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And you know the story. Potiphar comes home. She accuses him of trying to rape her. He goes to prison, and he sits there for some time. But God had a way of turning around the situation. success in our life. At the end of Joseph's life, he looks back at his problems and at his brothers who did some things to him. Here's what he says. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." See, the truth is there's going to be some people in your life who are going to try to harm you. And they mean it for evil. And yet God says he's going to use it for good. Sometimes God allows problems in our lives to direct us. Sometimes God uses problems in our lives to inspect us. Sometimes God uses problems in our life to correct us. And sometimes God uses problems in our life to protect us. But always, number five, God uses problems to perfect us. God uses problems in our lives to make us more perfect. The Bible says this in Romans 8:28, there in your outline. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also, underlined, predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Here's what he's saying. God uses the problems that come into our life to accomplish a greater good. The problems that come into our lives are problems that he uses in order to conform us to the image of his Son. It's been said that you and I are like uncut diamonds. We're rough. It takes something to make us more valuable, and God uses problems to chip away the rough edges of our life. And so like a diamond, it increases our value. I've learned in my life that God's greatest purpose is not my happiness, but his greatest purpose is to make me more like Christ. In the book of Genesis, it says that you and I were created in the image of God. When man sinned, that image became marred. And when Christ came and he purchased us back, he began to work in us to change us back into the image of Christ. And the way that he does that many times is through problems. So what is the image of Christ? Well, Jesus is loving. He's kind. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's self-controlled. And God wants to build that type of godly character in each and every one of us. So how does he do it? Well, God does it in two ways. The first way that God builds godly character in our lives is simply by God's word. As we read it, we hear it, we study it, he takes it and he changes our mind, changes the way we think. And so it shapes us and it begins to build godly character in our lives. But the other way that God builds godly character in our lives is just simply to face problems. James says it like this. "Consider it pure joy, my brethren." Now, before we go any further, that word joy can also be translated as ecstasy. "Consider it pure ecstasy, my brethren." What? "Whenever you face trials of many kinds." Why? Because it's fun? No. Because, it goes on to say, "you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be," what's that word? "Mature," underline that, "and complete, not lacking anything." God looks at you and I and he says, "I want you to be mature, not lacking anything." And how do we get there? By facing problems. So we learn two ways. We learn through God's word, and we learn through problems. Here's the question. Which way do you think that God uses the most? Well, let me ask you another question. What do you spend more time doing? Solving problems or reading your Bible? You see, the truth is, if you read your Bible 1 hour a day, that leaves you 23 hours to do what? Solve problems. So one of the greatest ways that God uses in our lives salvation perfect through suffering. He made the one who leads people to salvation perfect through suffering. Perfect means mature. That's how God did it in Jesus' life, allowing Jesus to face some difficult times to bring about the maturity that he needed to have. Another place, Paul says it like this, the outline. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And when you read that verse, you have to realize that Paul is not being a masochist. It's not that it's ever an enjoyable thing, but he just understands that God has a way of using problems in our life in order to bring us to the place of maturity, perseverance, and character. The old proverb says, all sunshine and no rain only creates a desert. So sometimes God uses problems in our life to direct us. Sometimes God uses problems in our life to inspect us. Sometimes God uses problems in our life to correct us. And sometimes God uses problems in our life to protect us. But in every case, he uses problems to perfect us. Every one of us tonight is facing some difficult, challenging times. Every one of us is facing a problem. And I don't know the problem that you're facing, and it could be relational, it could be financial, it could be career. But whatever it is, every one of us is facing something, that one gnawing thing that we'd really like to just go away. And so as we wrap this up tonight, it's in those difficult times that we need to remember four truths. And I would suggest that these four truths in the difficult times we simply need to hang on to. Truth number one, God sees everything I'm going through. That's the starting point. We tend to think that God doesn't see, that he doesn't know what's happening. God, where are you? And yet he sees. And then number two, regardless of my problem, God can use it. I think we spend too much time trying to figure out the why of the problem. The reality is we won't always know why anything happens to us. What we can know is that no matter what does happen in our lives, God can use it. He can do something with it. Truth number three, God can always change my situation. God can always change my situation. That foreclosure that you're facing, that difficult marriage that is unraveling, that financial situation, but the health situation, whatever it is, God can change it. But we look on and we say, but God, it's been so long, and you haven't done anything yet. Well, that's when we need to remember truth number four. And truth number four is simply this, that God wants to change me first. God sees my problem. He knows what's going on. But God is more interested in changing me than he is my problem. We say, God, change my situation. He says right now, I'm changing you. I've noticed about problems that if I don't get it right the first time, the good news is I get to face it again. The starting point for each and every one of us is the place where we come to and we invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives. You say, God, right now, I don't understand why I'm facing this situation. But deep down inside, I believe that you have a plan for my life. And it could be that this problem that we are facing might be the very problem that God is using to bring us to that place where we finally recognize I'm being for him. You see, if you're here tonight and you never invited Christ into your life and you're facing a very challenging situation, then I can tell you that you're not here by accident. I don't know what you're facing. And I don't know how this applies to your life. But as we were going through these points, I do know this. And as we were making the points, it was being applied to your life. You're not here by accident. starting point for you tonight, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, is simply to invite him to come into your life. Take control and begin to rework his plan in your life. And so in just a moment, I'm going to simply lead us in prayer. And if that's you and you've never invited Jesus into your life, you just simply say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins, anything that's between me and you. And the Bible says that if you invite him in, he will come in. And the Bible likens that to being born again spiritually. To being reborn is what it's called. And from that day on, everything is different. And from that day on, God steps into your life and begins to work his plan. So I'm simply going to bow my head and pray. And if that's you tonight, then you want to pray that prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, today we just turn to you. And Lord, for those of us who've never invited you into our lives, we just look to you and say, Jesus, you know what I'm facing. I'm not here by accident. I'm inviting you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and anything that's been a barrier between you and I. I'm inviting you to come into my life and be first. I'm inviting you to come into my life and take control. And today I want to follow you. And if you pray that prayer, the Bible says that he's come into your life. And that he's never going to leave. And that your life is going to be different from this day on as you follow him. And for each and every one of us who already know, who already have that personal relationship, Father, we just look to you in our situation, in our difficult time. And Lord, you could be directing, you could be correcting, you could be inspecting, you could be protecting, you could be perfecting. But whatever it is that you are doing, we simply look to you and say, Father, show us what you want to do in this situation. Show us what you want to do in us. And help us to follow what it is that you want to accomplish as we yield ourselves to you. Father, no matter what we're facing, we pray that we would sense your presence as we walk forward. And that we'd see that you are going before us, you're with us. You're comforting, you're opening and closing doors according to your purpose. And Lord, for every person that we are going to bring next week, who doesn't right now even know that next week you're going to be changing lives, for those people, even right now, we pray that you are working in their lives. And Lord, that you are giving us the boldness that we need to invite our friends. And Father, we pray for great things next week as we invite our friends who need to come into that relationship with you. Be with us until we meet again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.